Thank you for joining us in a session that is dedicated to Azure Cognitive Services, HD Insight, Power BI, and something new, which is called Querona. I hope this session will be very different of what you have seen today so far. And we'd like to start right now. So I would like to invite Marek and Piotr. Piotr is replacing Łukasz Grala, who cannot be with us today. But Piotr is going to give a very good replacement. And my name is Damian Widera. Let's start then.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the goal of today's session is to talk about data analytics connected to cognitive services. As Satya said, cognitive services can let us do amazing things, but we would like to approach how it a little bit different way, how we use it and how we approach integration with cognitive services. We would like to connect multiple puzzles, multiple products which are available in Azure, namely HD Insight, which is a high performance cluster available in Azure. It's based on Hortonworks data platform. So Hortonworks prepared it for Microsoft. We are interested in two components there, Hadoop and Apache Spark. We will show you some things about Azure DB and how to connect everything with cognitive services and present results in Power BI. There's a session on channel 9, recorded, ready to be viewed with one approach, and we would like to show you something different. Okay, cognitive services is a REST API. You can program against it. It's pretty easy. But how we could use cognitive services in SQL or using SQL for analysis? Well, for analysis, the language of doing work is SQL, right? So we would like to utilize it on that level. This could give us a lot of additional benefits like reusability, etc. And our answer of how to approach it differently is visualization and data visualization, to be specific. Let me give you a quick introduction to the data visualization platform, namely Querona. It's our own product. On my right side, we have data sources. And the data visualization works on multiple levels. First level, where we visualize, is our data sources. We support over 100 data source types. So you can connect to virtually everything on the planet. I mean, all relational databases, services, Dynamics CRM, Salesforce, whatever. And we separate you from all the technicalities required to connect to the sources and use data from them. So first, what you have to do is to define your connection to the data source, and it's instantly available for querying under one umbrella. We chosen to emulate Microsoft SQL Server. Therefore, everything you connect is presented as a standard SQL Server database. Fully compatible. You can use any tool that supports SQL Server, meaning the whole planet. We consolidate the data on the fly. So there's another visualization going on where we visualize the execution engines that that really process the data. We can have a lot of data with our data sources, and we would like to gain some better performance, right? We operate on metadata level. We do not move the data. Therefore, if you want to integrate multiple data silos, you can do this easily. We just federate everything with everything, right? And of course, as we emulate SQL Server, you can access it from Power BI and anything else. On my right-hand side, there's a cognitive services, which will plug in to the visualizer and make it available for usage. Let me show you how it looks like. I will be brief. We have a web interface. This is the only thing you see from this perspective. It's a fully self-service platform. So let me show you how to work with that. Everything you see here are virtual databases which do not hold the data. Everything we do here and every SQL you will see soon is executed against a virtualizer. There's no SQL server around. Okay? So please don't be confused about it. Let me show you how to connect the data source, right? Let's name it. We have a predefined connections. Let's connect to SQL Azure, okay? The database is selected automatically, and now we see metadata that's stored on SQL Azure, right? And the whole configuration is Azure only right now. Okay, we pick what metadata we want to import to our virtual database. We click create, and our database is ready to be used, right? So let's switch to SQL Server Management Studio, and you can see the database is visible here, and all the tables. Sorry. Oh, I did not import the tables. Sorry about that. No. Let me refresh it. I don't know what happens. I'm very sorry. So let's go in here. We have all the tables imported, and as you can see, we see all the columns. We can reconfigure them, etc. But what else we can do is to put data we have inside our database and move it to a very different platform, right? So I'm sorry. Okay. So now let's create a database which is based on HD Insight, right? Okay. We'll use an existing connection which is an HD Insight on Azure. And we'll create an empty database. Now, we can consolidate data into one database from every source we are connected to. So let's choose the one we created. Okay, we can import everything once more. Okay, we have the database, right? Let's try it right now. But these are views now, right? So, and we can create these views instantly. I'm sorry. Let's make it dim account. Okay, and the data is returned. What I just did was we did not move the data. We just connected to SQL Azure, and what we did with the second database, we told the virtualizer, use HD Insight on Azure as your storage. So if we want to materialize data there, it's pretty simple. We just go here, for example, and we choose caching and partitioning. We choose the caching and partitioning scheme. We know which provider we use. So in this case, it's in fact Spark 2.1. Therefore, we know what Spark is able to do. Therefore, we present the proper options for you. Let's choose in-memory caching right now. Since partitioning is most important when in MPP environment, we have some partitioning options here. I'll just focus with no partitioning because it's a very small table. Okay. Let's touch it, because in memory is initialized lazily. Okay, this is the HD Insight instance cluster that we use. Let's refresh it. We use dim account. Let's look at dim account. And we have it. The Vartek dim account, it's materialized on the cluster, right? So this is the kind of work we can do, right, with the virtualizer. Okay, so The main takeaway from my part of the talk is to know that we have a different technology. It's not SQL Server. It looks like SQL Server, and every data source you have just talks transacts SQL, right? Whatever data type connection may be. Okay, so thank you, and switching to you guys.
Looks like it's my turn right now. I go to the presentation.
Yep.
Or Marek, you can do it for me.
Yep.
Okay.
Here you go.
So you know what the Microsoft Cognitive Services are. We are going to use only two of them today because we have not too much time. I'd like to use Face API to show you how to connect Face API directly to Power BI using this virtualization described by Marek, and Piotr are going to use Recommendation API. So let's skip the definitions and let's go to the demo. First of all, we have to start with registering cognitive services in Azure portal, and I show you the video how to do this. So as you see, I have already logged to my Azure portal. I'm searching for cognitive services API, and I'm creating a new account. So when I'm creating this new account, what I have to do is to provide a unique name and search or choose what API type I would like to use. In my case, is Face API. I'm selecting the proper pricing tier. I'm going to use up to 10 calls per second, and the deployment has been started. And once the deployment is done, what you have to remember is the endpoint. You can see it here, and also the account key, because you use the endpoint plus the key to connect to the cognitive services. And that's all how to do this and how to connect to the cognitive services in Azure portal. The real goal is that we have pictures in our database. So what I would like to do is I'd like to take all those pictures that the pictures are in relational engine. So it's just data warehouse that stores those pictures. And for every picture, I would like to call the cognitive API, Face API, and try to find out the age of the person you can see on the screen. So how to do this? How to do this? This is exactly how to make a call to the Face API using Transact SQL. You don't have to code the API in C# or some other programming language. You can use Transact SQL. And the statement is pretty easy, because what you have to do, first you have to load files. I have all the files in the database. I have to say where they are so they can be loaded to the cognitive API face, cognitive services face API. This is the endpoint name. You have seen it previously on the screen. And the last part, this is the account key. You have to use it for every call. So that part is sent to the Face API, and you have to call detect faces method. And this method returns data back in JSON format. Of course, it's not only information about age. You see, we are going to use only age information. However, the Face API sends more information. For example, you can have information about emotions. So if a person actually smiles, if it is happy or sad, or something like this, if the person wears glasses or not, this information can also be retrieved from the API. But in our demo, we are going to use only the age information. Okay, the next step is to create a view which is going to combine relational information from the data warehouse plus the new information from the cognitive API. And I'm going to use this virtualization platform. So I'm going to virtualize a database. It's already there. So what I'm going to do is I would like to create a view. This view will have information from the data warehouse plus the new column. And the view is going to be created. The next step is to look for the table where the pictures actually are. So I have found the table. And now I have to create a new column. In the column, I call the column age. and the statement will be exactly the statement you have seen on the previous slide. And also, I have used a filter predicate because I don't want to have too much data, just for the demo purpose. So right now, the view is already created by the virtualization platform, and actually you can see the data. And the data, that's the picture part, and you see this is the age. And what you should see here is that every row here, so the age in every row, is retrieved from the cognitive API. So for every row, that was a call to the cognitive API, and the result is sent back. And the last part is how to create a Power BI report that utilizes the cognitive services. Well, Power BI is not just a tool to make a report. It's a suite of business tools, so you can use them to have insights in your data. So no more dead reports, dead Excels, but you can, for example, you can also ask questions against your data and have this information back from Power BI. So let's take a look how it works here. As Marek said, when we connect to the virtualizer, we have to connect to the SQL database because it's like a SQL database. I'm connecting to it right now in direct query mode, and I try to prepare a report. First, I have to find my view. It's called dim employee with age, and this very last column have the information about age. So you see employee photo plus URL plus the age. And I'm trying to prepare a very, very simple report. Of course, you can have better reporting, but I'm going to add only first name, last name, this employee photo, because I'd like to see the photo, and I'd like to see the age. And this is all information I have. But as you can see, by default, this Power BI does not represent the URL properly, so we have to model the employee web column and say that the data categorization is image URL. And right now you see actually the photos. I'm going to make the report a little bit more beautiful. And you see, in that very simple way, I connected relational data with cognitive API data, cognitive services face API data. And that's all. It's simple like this. And now, stage is for Piotr. You can say something about the recommendation API.
So, recommendation API is a set of REST services in Azure that allow recommendation checks. So, the concept is that a shop is able to upload its catalog of products. It's able to upload the list of items that customers have bought. And Azure can learn from all this information. And Azure is can make recommendations. So it's possible to ask Azure, what's the recommended product that this customer should be offered? Because other customers have also bought something similar from the same category. So there are three main scenarios why recommendation API is used. Mostly is to get to propose a product that is also bought by customers who bought something that our current customer has already bought. We can also ask for recommendations for popular items, especially when we have a new customer who has not bought anything. Maybe we can just suggest the most popular product. And finally, because we are always asking in the context of a customer, what would be a similar product, that this customer might be interested in because he was buying products from other categories. The learning process for recommendation API is divided into four phases. First, we set up a model. It's just a single REST call. Then we upload a product catalog, a list of products. That's why we use Querona to run a query that will retrieve a list of products. We will then upload a list, the usage information. That is information that what products were bought by which customers. So this is the information used for learning. And finally, we ask Azure to start building the model. The last process can take a few minutes. So we will show you a video how we are doing that with Querona. So we have a couple of stored procedures where we just call REST services. We are using here the this API key for our recommendation that we created in the Azure portal. We will store this key, the model the model ID that is here in a temporary table because we need to pass this argument to the next step. So in the next step, we are actually will execute a query. This query that will get a list of products in our catalog. And here we are sending our recommendation API. And as you see, 77 products were uploaded to Azure. In the next step, we have to teach, we have to upload our sales. So we are executing another query with a list of customers, products, and the order date when they bought this product. It's also pretty simple, pretty fast. All we are sending, we are actually posting a comma-separated file to Azure, which I can show you. This is the data that we are sending. This is a customer, item, code, and a date. Finally, we are ready to start the learning process. And Azure will return a build number. This number here is a special number for this particular learning process. As I told you, it can take a few minutes. So there is also a way to ask Azure if this particular model has finished. So we are asking Azure a few times if the query is done. So because it will take a few seconds, I will show you the list of customers, the top customers that will look for whom we will ask for recommendations. So once we have the model created, we are able to use this model. So we will use the this model ID, this 64, 6A, and we can also use a function, very similar function that Damian has shown you. So we will first I will show you how we can get a single recommendation for a single customer. So we are passing the model. This is the model ID, and we are passing this model ID as an argument. And the other argument is the customer name. And this one means number of products to recommend. So this is a JSON that we get from Azure, which says, for this customer, I would suggest to buy North Ost. This North Ost is a product name. And there is also this 067 at the bottom is a probability how much the customer will like our recommendation. So I will show you how the calls are. Well, I don't, probably we are out of time. So,
but I think we can show it.
Well, I can show you quickly how the REST calls look like. So we are just sending those REST calls. This is the request to create a model, and we get the model ID. Then we upload a list of products. It is a CSV file that you upload. Then we upload our usage, customer name, product ID, when it was bought. We ask to start the learning process, and we get this build ID. Finally, we can get recommendations. We just execute a get call with our model ID and the user name, the customer name. And we get a list of products, so it's a list. So
I think that's all.
Thank
you very much.
That's all. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.